just the spirit of deliverance. That God wants to loose us from some things. God wants to set us free, not temporarily, not for January, not to pick it back up on February 1st. God wants to loose us from some things. I'm ready to be loosed of whatever has got me bound, whatever is keeping me back from the will of God. I want to be free from it. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through, I'll do 2 through 3. To shorten your standing. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods beside me. And we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 needs to be a quotable verse in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. And I'm reading in the Christian Standard Bible for clarity, and you'll see why here in a minute. Bible says, listen, Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Amen? Amen. Tonight, we want to talk about divided devotions. Divided devotions. And I believe the Lord wants to set us free. I just feel that in my spirit. The Lord wants to set us free from some cycles, from some vices, from some things. I believe God wants to give the grace for you to be free from tonight on in the name of Jesus. Why don't you put your Bible down? Let's pray. Father, we need you. God, more than anything, we need to admit that we're bound. More than anything, we need to realize the vices. We need to realize the things, God, that has got us locked up, Lord. And I pray, God, that you will loose us tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the ministry of deliverance be opened up. Let the heavens open up in the name of Jesus, and let us maintain liberty in the presence of God. Hallelujah, because there is freedom, there is liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. And I pray for a witness of the Spirit to testify behind the words that you want to speak tonight, that you would loose us into a greater dimension of prayer, a greater dimension of fasting, a greater dimension of witnessing, a greater dimension of worship, God. Loose us, Lord Jesus, that we can be free, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Why don't you shout unto the Lord if you believe God wants to do something special? I believe angels are going to come down tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. Hopefully this is just a Bible study. I don't foresee it being a Bible study. I really want to get through it. Maybe that we can have an opportunity to respond. But the conclusion we get from these scriptures is that there is only one true God, and we are to love him alone and not have other gods. The Lord would not have had to put, do not have other gods besides me, if he didn't think that would be an issue or a problem. Yet we see throughout the scriptures that this is a problem. There is a competition for devotion between Jehovah and idols. And while they could not see Jehovah, they would make these idols, some out of gold, others out of wood, some out of silver, others out of trees, sculpted by hand, made in the image of a man, made in the image of a beast, or a celestial object like the sun, the moon, or the stars. And as though the making of the idol was not offensive enough, it was the rituals associated with these false gods that was the true perversion. There was Baal, there was Chemosh, there was Ashtoreth, there was Molech, there was Nebo, and there was Dagon. And the rituals associated with these gods were/are detestable and perverted. There was temple prostitution. There was child sacrifice. There was human sacrifice. There was fortune telling. There was consulting with mediums. There was sorcery. There was bestiality. There was necromancy. There was all these detestable things, all of which God condemns in the Torah. That is the first five books of your Bible. God condemns those things. Let me just stop right here and say that there's a reason why God said certain things in the Bible are an abomination. It's not just because it's an abomination alone. It's because the people around the Israelites in the lands, they practice those type of things. They practice homosexuality. They practice bestiality. They were practicing incest. And so God said, you're not going to be like those people. You're going to be separate. And I want you to follow this. Besides, it's an abomination and it's against my creative order. And yet, because of the nearness of these deities and the people who worshiped them, compromise crept in. And the Israelites slowly allowed these idols and practices in the land. Though God's command was clear, no idols. There was a subtle deception in the compromise. The subtle deception was this. The Israelites weren't going to forsake Jehovah. They could still offer sacrifices. They could still celebrate feasts. They could still honor the Sabbath. They could still have a tabernacle. Excuse me. They could still have the temple. And God would still be God, just with the others. God would still be Jehovah. They could still call themselves Israelites. They could still call themselves people of the name. They could still call themselves separated Yahweh's people. It's just that those other gods would be right along with Jehovah. And there we find Jerusalem with that beautiful temple. In it, you walk in was the brazen altar where you would have to sacrifice a lamb for the remission of your sin. Then you would have to move to the brazen laver to wash yourself. And then you would approach that door. There would be a veil and you would have to walk in. And that place was completely dark. And there was a golden candlestick to your left. And that's what lit up that holy place. And that golden candlestick was lit on fire from the fire of the brazen altar. And that lit up the place where you could see the table of showbread, when within it the table of showbread was the two tablets of Moses and Aaron's rod that budded, and you could see that. And then you would walk in front of the veil that separated the holiest of holies with the holy place was an altar of incense where they would burn those coals and allow that incense to burn, and you would have to get that fire to light that incense from the brazen altar. And then you would get beyond the veil. Once a year, that high priest would have to sprinkle the blood that was sacrificed on the brazen altar for the remission of sin, and he will sprinkle it, and the children of Israel would receive remission of sin on the Day of Atonement, and God would come down and sit on that mercy seat. They had all those great things. They had the cherubim. They had all those great things. It's just that at that great beautiful temple on those hills, there was poles erected to Asherah. There was fornication happening underneath the trees. There was children being burned and sacrificed in the valley right next to that temple. But they still had God among them in their eyes. They hadn't forsaken Jehovah. They hadn't forsaken the law. But in the eyes of the Lord, they forsook him and his covenant. Can I just go ahead and just be plain that is the subtle deception of today's Christianity, is that we can still have Jesus. We can still have the church. We can still have the sanctuary. We can still have great singing. We can still have a prayer meeting. We can still have 30 days of prayer and fasting. We can still have outreach. We can still have community services. We can still have witnessing. We can still have those things. And yet at the same time, we can leave the sanctuary.
sanctuary, or we can step into our car, or we can go into our house, and among those things where we call and mark ourselves as a Christian, we can still have the idols of this world. We can still have the things of this world. We can still have the things that are dividing our devotion. It's not old school preaching, it's just the truth. It's just the truth. I'm here to just help us get free tonight. I'm here to help us get free from some things tonight. And you're not looking at somebody who has had to examine my own life and say, you know what, maybe I should lay that thing down. Maybe that's a weight I don't need to take into 2026. Maybe that thing is affecting my prayer life. Maybe that thing is affecting my fasting. Maybe that thing is affecting me from getting to the house of God. Maybe that thing is affecting my family devotion. And so whatever I've got to do, whatever it has to look like, no matter however I've got to call it, I've got to be honest with myself and say, I can't let this divide my devotion to the one true God. I can't let this divide my devotion and my worship to Jesus Christ. Amen. Herein we find in the book the first minor prophet after God. He gives the most prophecies in the book of Isaiah, a major prophet. And then in Jeremiah, we see the punishment of what happens when you worship idols. Is a prophet who's trying to proclaim against the people of God that they need to repent. And yet in Jeremiah, we see how the king gets captive and the king of Babylon comes and he takes captive Jerusalem, destroys the temple. And then all of a sudden, it's no longer worshiping just Jehovah. Now it's just idols. That thing, those idols that they were content with, the things that they allowed in the land were standing, and yet the first thing that they were supposed to have is now on fire. And then we see in the book of Ezekiel how they were sent to be captives. And then we see in the book of Daniel how what happens when a man who decides to pray can change a nation. Those are the major prophets, but what opens up the minor prophets, not minor in substance, it's just smaller books, but we open up in the book of Hosea, and it's a famous book, sometimes shied away from, because if we're being honest, it's a hard reflection of our lives. God is trying to demonstrate the weight of what their devotion looks like. It's promiscuous. It's promiscuous. Hosea's wife, Gomer, was married but sought out different lovers. But to add insult to injury, she still considers Hosea as husband. So even though Hosea is providing all of her needs, providing wine, providing cheese and bread for a lifestyle, she is still going around seeking different lovers, and yet God commands Hosea to stay, to abide with her. And she comes back realizing that the lovers that she sought out can't do or provide what her husband can give and provide. And so there is Hosea waiting for Gomer to come back, and God uses Hosea and Gomer as the allegory to communicate Israel's unfaithfulness to him. Israel had still worshipped Jehovah, still kept the Sabbath, still celebrated the Sabbath, still celebrated new moons, still sacrificed and kept the dietary laws. But just as long as there was idols to divide their devotion, God called it unfaithfulness. And God considers it spiritual adultery. Because you've got to understand that we are in a covenant with Jesus Christ. That when you and I, if we've been buried in baptism in his name, we have taken on his name as the church. The church is the bride, and God is looking for a faithful bride who's faithful to him. And if when the moment where our devotion is divided, God doesn't just see it as someone who's just on the side. God sees it as spiritual adultery and unfaithfulness to him and his covenant. And that's something that we ought to take serious. Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, committing blatant acts of promiscuity by abandoning the Lord. Hosea chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, I'll just give you some quotes, but one says, verse 10, they will be promiscuous, but not multiply, for they have abandoned, this is the key verse I want to point out, they have abandoned their devotion to the Lord. Understand, nobody ends up in promiscuity. Nobody ends up in adultery or fornication except they first abandoned their devotion to the person that they were supposed to be with. And I'm afraid that that's what happens oftentimes. And I'm just speaking plainly right now. That when we abandon our prayer life, when we abandon reading the Word of God, when we abandon our devotion to God, and not just abandon, but when we just allow it to just be stale, when we're no longer seeking after a deeper walk with God, our devotion gets abandoned. And then what happens is in verse 12, the Bible says, in verse 12 in chapter 4, for a spirit of promiscuity leads them to astray. In other words, when we abandon our devotion, what begins to happen is we begin to look at other stuff. We begin to look at other things. We begin to look at other people. We begin to look at other things and get distracted. And then all of a sudden, we haven't prayed. All of a sudden, we haven't been in the Word of God. All of a sudden, we're no longer praying like we used to. All of a sudden, we're no longer on fire like we used to be. All of a sudden, we're no longer holding the convictions that we used to hold. All of a sudden, we don't talk like we used to talk when we are on fire for the Lord. We don't dress like we used to dress when we are committed to God. We don't speak the same way. It's because our hearts have abandoned that devotion and have gone astray. And to be quite frank, the Christian Standard Bible, I'm using it for a reason. I don't want to be crude tonight, but just to be real, if you're looking in the King James Version, it's a very, very strong word. And I don't mind using it. It means whoredoms. But I want to use promiscuous because that etymology is important. The study of that word is important because it means to be for mixing, to be indiscriminate, lacking standards, disorderly in your mix. Can I tell you, and just be real, nobody wants to have the reputation of being promiscuous. Young people, you need to not have a reputation of being promiscuous. You ought to stay as far away. Stay as far away from that label as you possibly can. And the way you do that is how you talk. The way you do that is how you walk. The way you do that is how you dress. The way you do that is how you act among people. You do not want the label. None of us don't want that label of being somebody who's indiscriminate, who will go after anybody, be with anybody. Can I just be real? Nobody wants that reputation in a relationship. And it ought to be the same in our relationship with God. We don't want to have that type of relationship where we're just loose with everything, where we're just loose with our relationship. We're willing to give up things whenever. We're willing to give up when the new tide comes, when the new wave comes. That's not the type of relationship I want with God. It means to mix, and that's exactly what was happening. It's exactly what was happening, is that they wanted to still have Jehovah. They wanted to still have the blessings because they had a great city. They had great walls. They had great protection. They had abundant blessing. They were in a desert, and God gave rain to their plants like no other city. They could say that they were blessed. They could say that they were the covenant people, but yet they still wanted the pleasure of what those idols gave you. Can I remind you of what those idols gave? Those idols gave pleasure like no other. You could go out into the field, have relations with anybody that you wanted to have relations with. You can go out, sacrifice your child, and then say that you would have a child the next year. You can have the benefit of all those things that the idols provided, and you can still say that you are part of Jehovah's people. But let me just remind you one more time that the Lord says that's idol worship, and that is unfaithfulness to me, and I will not accept your worship. That's why you see that repetitive tone in the book on the prophets where he says, I don't want your new moons. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your feasts. I don't want any of those things until you begin to really seek after me, until you really begin to destroy those idols. Amen. I know it's kind of strong tonight, but if we're being honest with ourselves, Going back to the title, it's Divided Devotions. If we're being really honest with ourselves, we could say that, man, maybe my devotion's been kind of divided. Can I just give you a Christian prayer one-on-one type of thing? That thing that's keeping you from prayer, that thing that's on your mind on prayer, that's the thing that you got to put on the altar. That's the thing that's trying to divide your devotion. Yes, we've got the bills. Yes, we've got the kids. Yes, we've got school. Yes, we've got work. Yes, we've got the cares of this life. But can I tell you, all those things get taken care of when you put them in its place and you say, I'm going to get up and pray anyway. I'm going to get up and worship anyway. I'm going to get up and do those things anyway because I want to love the Lord. It's divided devotions. I want to be plain because oftentimes, well, let me just say for myself, I'm the type of person in my flesh, I say, if they don't call it out, I'm good. But we know those things because Holy Ghost don't need to use a preacher to call it out. God is speaking to you right now. The Word of God will speak to you. The Word of God will bring things up in your conscience as the man of God is preaching. So I don't have to say every single thing. If you're looking for a list, I'm not going to give it to you tonight. I can speak in general if we're being real. If I'm being real, we know the things that are holding us back. We know that we've got to turn off YouTube. We know we've got to cut off Netflix. We know we got to cut off Hulu. We know we got to cut off the podcast. We know we got to cut off some of those things. Why? Because it's dividing our devotion. It's dividing the thing. It's dividing the thing that's keeping us back from a true walk with God. That's why I say, free us, Lord. Free us, Lord. And I tell you, this is the great thing about when you really say, I can live without it. This is the great thing, is that once you finally put that thing on the altar, once you finally put it on the altar, and I can hear it in the spirit. I can hear it in the spirit. You're against those things. No, some are good things. Some are good things. They just got to be put in their place. They just got to be put in their place. They just got to be put in their place. And oftentimes, we've just got to say, no, 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 no. I got to cut off my phone. I got to put it on airplane mode. I got to leave it in a different room so I can go pray. Can I get practical tonight? Can I get practical tonight? Said this in Spanish small group, and this is, I don't get paid for this, so this is free promo. I don't get paid by this company. It's a thing called the brick. It's a little square. The same way that you would use your phone to tap on the credit card machine when you buy something, you tap on that brick. It's only $20. You tap on it, shuts down all your apps. Shuts down all your apps at a certain time. Can I tell you, just being real, I sleep better. I sleep better. When I pray, I'm not distracted because I know it's bricked. That's what they call it, because the apps are all shut down. I pray more focused. The only people who can call me, it's my wife and pastor. That's who I got on the list, and my mom. That's the only people who can call me. Can I just get practical? Divided devotions. Divided devotions. And I tell you... I tell you, let's stand tonight because I don't want to keep going. I think I made the point clear. I tell you, every single one of us, unless you're not a human, we've got something that's trying to divide. It's trying to get that wedge in between our devotion. It's trying to get that wedge in our devotion. And again, is it sin sometimes? No. Sometimes it's just good things. Sometimes it's the things that we need. But if it has a wedge between me and God, if it's going to hold me back from the prayer room, if it's going to hold me back from my prayer closet, I got to get it out. I got to put it in. Got to put it in its place. Got to put it in its place. I tell you, season of sowing, when I hear season of sowing, I hear the season of doing. It's time to just do it. It's time to just do it. And God has given us authority over every spirit if you've got the Holy Ghost. So the devil isn't going to trip you up unless you allow the devil to trip you up. The only thing that's holding us back is our flesh. And we've got authority over that if we just say, I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. God is going to give us the grace. God is going to give you the grace to lay down that weight, to lay down the sin that does so easily beset us. Hallelujah. I tell you, and I say this in closing, and we'll begin to pray. Consider this a lifelong battle. Consider this a lifelong battle. That every time you get to a different level, a different dimension, there's going to be one other thing that tries to creep in. And you know what? That same authority that you had to get over the first battle is the same authority that you have to get over the next battle. Oh, praise God. The only person that would not want to keep going, that would not want to respond to this, would be the person who's okay with their relationship right where they're at. The only person who would say, don't need to do that much more of that, would be the person who says, I'm okay with where I'm at. And I tell you, there's a divide that's happening, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, where God is looking for separated people. People will say, I'm going to shut off the news, going to shut off politics, not going to let it rule my life, not going to let it control my life, not going to let it change my character, my mindset, and I'm going to be more like Jesus. Because a deeper devotion, a greater devotion, makes you more like Jesus. That's the goal. That is the goal. And I tell you, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Why don't we lift our hands for a moment? In fact, if you feel inclined, make your way to an altar, no better place, and I'll be right here in that altar with you. God, I want to loose myself from anything. Any mixture I've allowed in my devotion, God. Any mixture, God, I want it out of my life. I want it out of my life, God. You said, come out from among them and be ye separate. I want it out of my life. Every single thing that you know, God, that you know, search me, oh God. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, God. If there's anything that's holding me back. If there's anything, Lord Jesus, that's keeping me where I'm at. Break me from it. Loose me from it, God. I want to be closer to you. I want to have a deeper walk with you. I want to wake up every day and talk with you. I want to end my days with you, oh God. Separate me, Lord Jesus. Separate me from the things of this world. Separate me from the things of this world, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Come on. Why don't you lift your voice? Why don't you cry out unto the Lord? Don't let the divided devotions happen any longer in the name of Jesus.